this morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 21. The book of Luke, chapter 21. I would like to have your attention. I recognize that I am very inadequate to be all things to all men, supply every need that everybody has in their life. I'm here, I stand here as a representative of the God of the Bible, and I want to be as faithful as I can be in the presentation of the Word of God and the helping of your souls. I recognize my insufficiency. Paul said, our sufficiency is of God, and any sufficiency that I have, any adequacy for the work, is of course given by God, and that which I do not have, a man or a thing, is only what God makes him. I would like to be more to every one of you. I'd like to help you in your situations, in your life, in your struggles, in the difficulties that you encounter day by day. I'd like to be able to help you. But I'm only a man. That's all I am. And I hope and pray and trust that God might be pleased to make up the difference between what I am able to be to you and what you really need, that the Lord will undertake in your lives, that He will meet your needs. Now, one of the things that I think that is absolutely necessary, I'm convinced of it with all of my heart, that if we are going to have victory in our individual lives, if we're going to go on, if we're going to be able to deal with our problems in our situations, we absolutely must have a profound faith in the veracity of God's holy word. God's word. We must believe His word. We have to believe the word of God. I think, fundamental. It's very fundamental. And we have to face up to the fact that we either believe the word of God or we certainly are not going to have the victory or be established in the ways of God. We must believe His word. His truth, Psalm 117 verse 2 says, His truth endureth forever. God's word is true. Now you say, preacher, you don't understand. I'm in a snare. I've been caught in a snare. I've been entrapped. I'm in trouble. I have deep problems. I have serious problems, and I don't know how to get out of those problems. Well, let me say that according to Psalm 91 and verse 3, the Lord said, surely, surely I will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Surely. Now that's a precious promise. And the reason it's precious is because it's sure. He said, surely I will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. I think many, many times we find ourselves ensnared in this world by various situations, various circumstances, various problems, and the first thing we know, we're led down the road and we find ourselves in so deep that we cannot get out and that we cannot deal with our problems. Now listen to me. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning. I'm trying to say to you that the only victory there is the victory of faith. You must believe God. You must trust God. There is no one else to turn to. You must trust the Lord. And you must depend upon Him to deliver you out of your problem. He said in the day of trouble, He said, call upon me in Psalm 50, and I will deliver you. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. You will live to glorify me if you'll call upon me, if you'll trust me, if you'll believe me. You call and I'll deliver. That's what God said. Now there is but one victory. There is but one kind of victory for a believer in this world, and that is the victory of faith. There is no other kind. You believe God, you overcome through believing. You trust God, you overcome through trusting Him. You overcome through believing that what He says is true. And you accept what He says, and you operate and work on the basis and go ahead on the basis of what God said. The just shall live by his faith. The just lives by what he believes. And that's the only answer, that's the only victory there is. If you're expecting some other kind of victory, my friend, you it's an unscriptural expectation that you have. The only victory there is the victory of faith. You believe God, you trust God, you depend upon God, you wait upon God, you walk as God directs, and you go forward as you're enabled by God to go forward. That's the only victory there is. And whether you're of good health, whether you have a sound emotional stability, whatever be your situation, if you don't have or if you do have, it's the same in both cases. You go straight ahead and you trust God and you believe God and you depend upon God and you don't look around you to see what's going on with other people. You look straight ahead and you look to the Lord and you trust God and you depend upon Him. That is the only solution there is to your problems. There is no other solutions. Now you can just drag this in and drag that out and drag around this and that situation and the old carcasses here and there, and it ain't going to do you no good. What you're going to finally do is you're going to come right back to where I'm telling you this morning. You got to trust God. You got to call on the Lord. You got to depend upon Him. You got to believe Him. And you got to wait on the Lord until He surely delivers you from the snare of the fowler. And the Lord will do that. That word came to me with power last night. Through many toils and snares, I have already come. And I'll tell you what, I've been ensnared a number of times and was ashamed of it, absolutely ashamed of it. And I'll tell you, the Lord only can deliver you. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. He will. The Lord will deliver you. He will undertake for you. Well, that's just something I wanted to throw in this morning. But I want you to turn, if you haven't already, to Luke chapter 21. And I want us to look here beginning with the 25th verse. And I want to read down through verse 31. Verse 25 through 31. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Let us pray. Father, in the glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we approach thee and pray your blessing upon the reading and the hearing of your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit take the word and apply it to our hearts. May victory be given unto each one of our hearts as we look to you this morning and as we believe your word and as we accept the precepts and admonitions of your word. We just pray, our Father, that you would undertake for each one that's gathered in our building here or in this building this morning, in our assembly. May each one of them be especially spoken to and blessed of the Lord and be given a word in their souls for their particular situations. We know that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are in need, and we pray for them that you will meet their need. We plead for them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we plead the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over the needs of our brethren and our sisters. And we beg thee, our Father, we approach thy throne, and thy throne is a throne of grace. And we pray, our Father, as you look not upon us as we stand in a state of nature, but as you look upon us as we stand in Jesus Christ, we ask and pray that thou will undertake and intervene on the behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, Lord, we bring and commit unto you our own lives and our needs, and pray and beg thee that thou will administer grace to our own hearts and our own souls. May we live to the glory and praise of Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask. Amen. Now then, this morning, I want to talk to you about this precept, look up and lift up your eyes, or lift up your heads, that we find in verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now the subject in this portion of the Word of God, in our Lord's prophecy here, is his own second coming. Now, I do not believe that you can apply these verses to any less important subject than to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, we believe in the second coming of Christ. I remember back years and years ago when the Lord first saved me, when I first heard mention of the fact that Jesus Christ was coming back. And the thrill of hearing for the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back to this earth, oh, it was tremendous. The electricity that went through my soul and system when I heard that Jesus Christ was coming back to this earth. And I have said many times, and I'm sure you have, quoted the scripture in Revelation, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." You remember the two men in white apparel in the book of Acts, and when the Lord Jesus was taken up. Let me read those verses. In verse 9 of Acts 1, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." This same Jesus, you've seen him taken up, he shall come again. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him taken up into glory. And also in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 20 and 21, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to that working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Now notice this morning that our focus is to be on this precept in verse 28. "And when these things begin to come to pass, then you look up and you lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And then in Ephesians 1 and verse 14, here's a verse of scripture that was a blessing to me in regards to your redemption draweth nigh. In verse 14 it says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Now your redemption draweth nigh. That purchased possession which our Lord himself purchased. Our Lord, you know, we are his by choice, his choice, and we're his by purchase. The Lord purchased us at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life. He bought us by his own precious blood. He redeemed us, and he purchased our entire person, our body, soul, and spirit. And the Lord is coming back to receive us unto himself. And this is the earnest of that is the Holy Spirit in us, and the fact that the Lord has bought us, he is coming to receive us unto himself. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord Jesus is coming back. But then here in the first thing I want us to see here in Luke chapter 21, that here is a terrible time in which we're told to look up and to lift up our heads. Our Lord in this prophecy reveals or exposes to us, and our hearts are faint. Men's hearts have always been faint, but our Lord yet exposes unto us some of those terrible, terrible things that will be at the time of his coming. It is to be a time of fearful trouble, a time of fearful national trouble. Look at verses 25 and 26. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is an awful picture here. It's not easy to attach a precise meaning to every part of these verses, but one thing stands out. One thing is abundantly plain, that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be attended by everything which can make it alarming to the senses and the heart of man. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is filled with alarming things which can alarm the senses and the hearts of men. Now let me explain this. If the giving of the law at Sinai was so terrible that even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, the return of our Lord to earth in power and great glory shall be much more terrible than the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. You can just get a picture of that. And if the Roman soldiers became as dead men when an angel came and rolled the stone away and Christ rose again from the grave, how much greater will the terror be when Christ shall return to this world? Think about that, if you will. These men, these soldiers, hardened soldiers, well, they became as dead men at the sight and at the experience and at the effects of this stone being rolled away and the Lord Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. What shall men do when worldly business is suddenly stopped and the precious things of the world are made worthless? What will men do? Now in these times that are coming upon us, verse 9, and let me read this ninth verse. I'll go back here in this 21st chapter and read it. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by, meaning that the end is not suddenly upon us. That doesn't mean that the end is right now. You'll hear of wars and commotions in the world. But he said, don't be terrified. Don't be terrified at this. Now, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. Now, this should not terrify the believer ever, what he hears about. The commotions that he hears about going on in the world, things going on around him, and those things that are the sounds of war that we hear about every day. The war in Yugoslavia, the coming war with North Korea, which is just almost a certainty. And there's other little skirmishes going on. But listen, we are not to be terrified at what we hear, even if war comes to our very door. And it is in a little different form or different way in our day and in our day and time, through violence and through murder and kidnapping, raping and thievery. These war is actually coming to our very doorsteps in our day and time. When was there ever a time when we have heard of as much violence and as much crime as and the venting of human wrath and human depravity as we have just recently. Now, it's not for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to ever be scared or to become victims and to be terrified in these times. Now, when I say victims, I mean victims of fear and victims of these various scares that come upon the world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us this precept for a time when it will be, I believe, impossible for us to carry it out unless it be by faith in Him. It goes back to what we were saying earlier. We just must believe God. And we shall never be able to look up and lift up our heads in times like these unless we have a profound faith in our God, unless we trust Him explicitly. Now, there's a second thing here. This will be a time, I think, of awful physical signs and wonders in the world. That's what verse 25 seems to be talking about. Charles Spurgeon said, "It may be a season of darkness, or the solar system may be disturbed, so that the stars of heaven, which have been fixed for centuries, shall fall like unripe fruit from the trees." Yet, even at such time as this, the children of God are to look up, and they're to lift up their heads. They're to look up. The children of God are to look up and to lift up their heads. And if these signs should not merely be in the heavens, but if the earth also should shake and tremble, if that which is supposed to be the most stable shall become most fickle, and the very foundations of the earth tremble and shake, yet even then the child of God is to look up and to lift up his head. Now, this is a precept for the worst of times supposed. For the worst of times supposed. This is what you and I are to do when the foundations are shaking. I don't know whether you're familiar with Psalm 46 or not, but I invite you to turn back there quickly. Psalm 46. And listen here to a few of these verses. Beginning with verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Therefore," in verse 2, "will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." Here the writer, the psalmist, said, we won't fear even if the mountains be removed and the foundations of the earth are shaken. Now you say, "Preacher, you know, I don't know that I can ever arise to that state where that I won't be afraid when terrible calamitous things like this happen. I don't see how that I can ever rise to that height, to where that I'll just be calm and patient to be able to look up, lift up my head in a time like that." Well, you say, I just don't see how I can do that. Well, beloved, you can rise to that only through that one who is able to raise you up to it. And God only is able to raise us up and to establish us and enable us to go forward and to lift up our heads and to look up in a time like that. Only God can raise us to that. We can't do that in a state of nature. Well, let's go on to say that this terrible time which our Lord describes here is also a time of universal alarm. Upon the earth, he said, there will be a distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken. Now, we could, of course, mention several situations that are going on. Once secure, mighty Japan now is being shaken economically. Other nations, along with our own nation, being shaken economically, much perplexity and much distress in nations. And in mighty Russia, today they're having an election, trying to elect a new parliament. And we know that, according to what we've already heard, much dissension. And there's going to be a tremendous amount of dissension to the point where they're not going to be able to go on and do anything, even after this election, because of the dissension that's going on. Distress of nations, old people, people that's not really what I would say is old. I heard a lady that was 63 years old say from Russia that she just didn't want to live anymore because there was no reason to live anymore. Life was so absolutely miserable. Well, there's distress, of course, in many, many places in this world. And men's hearts failing them for fear. People are afraid. And the fear is what's causing their hearts to fail as they go about looking after those things which are coming on the earth. They see them coming. And I think of the frustration in our own government as they're trying to handle this violence, this terrible outbreak of violence in our country. And they wring their hands and they're going to raise the price of ammunition. They're going to license gun owners, and they're going to do this and that and something else. And none of them ever get to the real heart of the issue, that we've got a problem. We're a lawless and rebellious generation, and men's hearts are not in submission to God or man, and we have all of these crooks running out of the streets. They put them in prison or out again on the streets to commit the same crimes that they committed earlier, and there just seems to be a breakdown of our criminal law system in this country. And so it's a terrible time. And we need to recognize that, not stick our head in the sand and say there's no reality to that, because there is reality to it. It is a terrible time. But you know, listen, fear is catching. As old Brother Barnard used to say, he said fear is catching. He says it's contagious. And when one person trembles, many seem to feel the same sort of tremor in themselves. And when people at home and abroad, when they shall be in distress, when everywhere the hearts of men seem to die within them, or turn to a stone, as it were, so they cannot act or move or do anything sensible in the midst of crisis, if it should ever come to that, and there should be a general panic throughout the world, then we have Christ for our Master, and we must not forget that. We have God for our Father. We have eternity for our heritage, and heaven for our home. And then, even in those circumstances, you can lift up and look up and lift up your heads. And how are we going to do that? Well, you can't do it without your Lord enabling you to, as we said earlier. But with God, all things are possible. In Christ, you can do all things. He said you can do all things, Paul did, in Philippians 4:13, through Christ that strengthens you. And John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, implying that with me, you can do all things. Now, if you turn from him in the time of calamity and in perplexity, your hearts quail with fear, and you just are like other men. If you're just like all other men in the time of national calamity and times of serious trouble in the world, if you run with them, think like the people of the world do, and if your strength is where their strength is, then you'll be as weak as they are. But if you have learned to look up, and I think there's a great need to habitually, I mean to form a habit of this, and that is to form a habit that in less stormy times, I mean when you're not facing a national calamity. I mean, when the foundations are not shaking and you have some little situation come into your life that really, if you examine it carefully and closely, you discover it's really not as big an issue as you think it is. And if you just make it a habit in all situations, beginning with the little ones, to lift up your head and to look up. And instead of letting yourself develop the habit, every time you get a little problem, put your head down between your knees and murmur and complain, moan and groan. If you'd make it a habit with little things, just look to the Lord and lift up your head and look up. Now all of us need to listen to what I'm saying here. In little things I'm talking about, in little situations that come up in your life, your daily life. Just don't let yourself go to pieces over just little bitty things. Because one of these days the big thing is going to come. Like old Red Fox used to always talk about the big one. The big one, talking about the heart attack, you know. And one of these days the big situation is going to come. And if you're in a habit of looking up and lifting up your head in little situations, then when that big one comes, that's just exactly what you'll do. You'll look up, you'll lift up your head, because if your portion is in heaven, many, many voices then that will be speaking at that time of the Lord's coming, these voices of calamity, these voices of distress, and thanks be unto God, we shall see him at his coming. Now, I believe that the Lord's coming, there's coming a time when he will appear and he will catch up his people, those that are alive and remain. The dead in Christ will be raised, and then those that are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with him in the air. And we anticipate that coming. That is the great hope of the church. That's the great hope of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in anticipation of that glorious day, the scripture says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." And in anticipation of that glorious day, each believer can say with the patriarch Job, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." And not another. Now then, I want us to look, and I'm going to just close this out. I just feel that I should. I want us to look down at the bottom here, verses 29. Here we have a parable that I think shows us some of the, that would give us, I think, some encouragement to listen to this precept here concerning lifting up our heads and looking up. And it says, verse 29, "He spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. And when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand." So now in this parable, we see here that summer, he says, we know that summer is now nigh at hand. When we see the trees shoot forth the buds, then you know. When you see these things come to pass, then he said, you know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, summer is the time of the bursting of the buds, the unfolding of flowers, and the forming and the ripening of fruit. There may come many a shower in the spring. There may come many a rain, hard rain, but that's not going to keep summer from coming. It'll help summer to come. It may be cold and chilly. Many times in the spring of the year, you know, we even have some of the biggest snows in Montana in the spring of the year. And that's kind of like storms in our lives. But we have cold and chilly weather, but under the black clouds that hovers over us for a while. But that will not hinder summer from coming. It will not. April showers, they say, bring May flowers. All these things are the tokens of the summer's coming. So when you're in trouble, expect that you're going to have a blessing. Now that's what this is talking about. Whenever you have trouble, whenever these great, terrible things happen, both in nations and in your individual lives, just look on it like winter is a time of trouble, and the cold, blustery winds of March and February and March and April. It's very chilling, but remember that this is tokens of the summer's coming. It just means summer is coming down the road. And that's what this parable is about. So when you're in trouble, just expect that you're going to have a blessing. When you're passing through a great trial, look out for that. That's just another sign. That's just another sign that summer is coming. Do not fear to look up and lift up your heads, for the clouds you so much dread, the poet said, are big with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. So look up. Now in blessing on your head, we say. I want us to get into the habit of believing that in every time of want, every time of pain, every time of depression, these are but the commencement of a season of blessing. That's exactly what I want us to do. We want to get to the place that when trouble comes, just say, well, that's the sign that a blessing is on the way. Now, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to preach these things to people when you think that probably there's a whole lot of doubt in our hearts about these things. But I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what we're saying. Therefore, as you look at the black buds on the tree of your life, say to yourself, I wonder what bright flower is coming out of these buds. They're about to burst. What bright flower is going to come out of these buds? Think of the ugly bulbs which we put in the ground. Yet the flowers which come out of them are what? They're beautiful. Those flowers are beautiful. So when God plants some black and ugly bulbs in the garden of your life and in the garden of your soul, do not cry out because of their ugliness, but look for the flowers that shall in due time appear. Expect something beautiful will come from God's sowing. God has sowed these things, and something beautiful is going to come. Jesus said, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own self, summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, these things you've been taught, know ye, the kingdom of God is at hand. There isn't anything wrong with the kingdom of God being in hand, is there? There's nothing wrong with the Lord coming, is there? I mean, wouldn't you look upon that as being the best day of your life? Wouldn't you look upon that as being a better day than your wedding day? Wouldn't you look upon that as being the greatest day of the world, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I would, but winter's got to come first. Distress of nations, terrible times, men's hearts failing them. All of these things has got to come first. But when they come, then know that the kingdom of God is at hand, and the Lord is drawing nigh. The time of your redemption draweth nigh. God is with you. We said that a minute ago. God is in you if you're a believer, if you're in Christ. And who can stand against him? If God be for us, who can be against him? And the devils of hell, listen now, the devils of hell cannot keep the spring from going on to summer, and nothing is going to keep the Lord from coming after his people and delivering his people. So remember this, if God be for us, if God is in control, and if he's not, we all better be mighty worried. God is in control, and the Lord is going to come and deliver us. Receive unto himself our redemption. Draweth nigh. Receive what he bought. He's going to have it. Not a hoof will be left behind. He'll have it all. When the children of Israel left out of Egypt, doesn't it say not a hoof was left behind? And that's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to come and get his own. not a hoof, will be left behind. Now listen, for those of you who are not believers, you begin to look for a hiding place. You ought to look for a hiding place. Now the best hiding place that I know of, being a sinner like I am, having been one ever since I was born into this world, Scripture says that speaking lies from my mother's womb, coming into this world, loving sin, drinking sin in like a dog laps water out of a mud hole, being a sinner, nothing good in me. The best hiding place I know of is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of you here today that you don't have a hiding place, let me recommend that Jesus Christ is the hiding place for sinners. And you hide yourself away in Him. Believe in Him. Trust Him. Hide yourself, as Spurgeon would say, in the five bleeding wounds. Hide yourself there. And the Lord and the judgment of God will overpass you. The judgment of God's already fallen on Christ. I hope we can look up and lift up our heads, regardless of whatever problems we have, and the stumbling remarks that's made this morning, may they be some way blessed of God to help you to see that whatever you're going through, just believe God, and these ugly things are going to turn into beautiful blessings as you trust the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God has never failed me. And He's had many a reason to, from my standpoint. But He never has failed me. He's never abandoned me. He ought to, but He said, I'll bring the blind by a way which they know not, in paths which they've not known. He says, I'll make the darkness light before you. And He said, I'll make the crooked way straight. But best of all, He said, and not forsake you. I won't forsake you. I'll never leave you. I will not abandon you. You can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And you need not fear what man shall do unto you. You need not fear. Just trust me. Believe me. So may the Lord bless these scattered remarks to your heart. Let's pray. Father,